Gordon as Fibber McGee and Molly, with Donald Novus, the Four Notes, and Billy Mills Orchestra. The show opens with Hallelujah. Along at the corner of 14th and Oak Streets, Wistful Vista, we find Fibber McGee and Molly.
Well, I still don't know why we didn't take the car, dearie. Heavenly days, we've hardly used it.
Oh, I know, but I think it's a good idea now and then, Molly, to walk along the streets of your own town.
What's good about it?
Well, it brings you closer to things. It gives you the common touch.
Hey, buddy, can you spare a dime for a cup of coffee?
Ah, the common touch.
I'm kind of a little bit short of change, Bud, but here's a nickel.
Okay, I'll get a demi-tasse. Thanks, Doc.
McGee, I don't think he really wanted coffee. His nose was awful red.
Yeah. So's your Uncle Dennis's, and look at all the black coffee he has to drink.
Say, I'll have you know, dearie, that me Uncle Dennis is a teetotaler.
You got something there. All the tea that guy ever drunk wouldn't total half a pint. Well, I remember one night I looked out the window and seen him peeking into the mailbox down to the corner. And you know what he was saying?
What was he saying?
He was saying, come on out and fight, Jim Farley.
Well, he shouldn't have done that. You know, Mr. Farley's twice as big as Uncle Dennis.
I just mentioned it. Oh, there's Harpo Wilcox. Hi, Harpo.
Oh, where are you going in such a hurry, Mr. Wilcox?
I'm going down to buy some fireworks.
Fireworks? What's your hurry?
Why, 4th of July's 5 weeks away.
I know it, but I always start early. You see, I give firecrackers as premiums to all my Johnson Wax customers.
Oh, I suppose the idea is that Johnson's Wax does such a bang-up job.
Yes, sir, but not only that, it emphasizes the fact that Johnson's Wax saves so much time and trouble for a housewife that every day is Independence Day. Well, I'll see you later, folks. I gotta hurry.
Smart guy, Harpo. I hope our sponsors notice the boom in our summer business. Careful crossing the street here, Molly. Better let me take your arm before some truck driver takes your leg.
Say, you just take care of yourself, dearie. Remember the time you got your heel caught in the car track? You held up traffic for 4 hours.
Yeah. It would have been longer than that if some genius hadn't suggested I take my shoe off.
Hello there, Johnny. Hello, daughter. Want to buy some homemade peanut brittle? It's nutty, but nice.
No, thank you, Mr. Oldtimer. Not today.
Hey!
She says, no, we don't want any old-timer. Personally, I hate to lose dignity by arguing with a hunk of candy, but it never agrees with me.
That's pretty good, Johnny. But that ain't the way I heard it. The way I heard it, one feller says to the other feller, I just read an article that says the human body is 65% water. Wonderful news, ain't it? Sure is, says t'other feller. Next time I want to play poker with the boys, I can sneak out through the hydrant. Well, sorry you don't want any peanut brittle, kids. Kind of like it myself. I'm a little deaf, and with this stuff, I can always tell when I'm through eating. Well, so long, Johnny. Goodbye, daughter. Nice, fresh peanut brittle. Monkey wrench with every box to tighten the nuts.
Oh, McGee, look.
Huh?
Isn't that the sweetest pair of shoes in the window? Those beach clogs with the platform soles.
Gee, I'd like to get a pair of them myself. I'm so short that whenever I go to the beach, I can't see anything.
What?
Oh, hi, Don.
Well, hello, Fibber and Molly. Where are you bound for?
We're going down to the cigar store, Mr. Novus. And McGee has run out of cigars.
Now, I don't blame him. If I smoked the kind of cigars he does, I'd run out, too.
Yeah, he was blowing smoke rings last summer up at the lake, and they're still using four of them for life preservers.
ain't so.
I understand he sold three of them to the fire department for horse collars.
Now, listen here, you two. Just because if a guy can't, why don't you sing something, Novus?
I'm going to. I'm going to sing I'm Building a Sailboat of Dreams.
Oh, that's fine, Don. Folks, Donald Novus sings I'm Building...
Oh, wait a minute, McGee.
Cooped up all those years, they just wanted to get out and take a little lurk around.
You aren't nervous, are you, Molly?
Well, I am a little nervous, Mr. Nervous. with all them convicts loose and all, I'm not sure I locked the back door. And I know I left my diamond ring on the dressing table.
Uh-oh.
Say, I better hurry home. Hurry back as soon as you get your cigar, series.
Okay, Molly. He's kind of upset at that, Donna. I better get down to the cigar store. How do you want to go into this number? Cold or with a fancy build-up?
Well, my agent told me that...
Folks, Donald Nova sings, I'm Building a Sailboat of Dreams. Shipyard Effects by Billy Mills. Take it, Don. Cigar store. on them old McGee smokeroos.
You are still owing me for the last 100 cigars, McGee.
How much?
$1.25.
$1.25, eh? Okay, here you are. Give me another 200. Say, did you hear about them convicts escaping? What'd they do, dig a tunnel?
They tried that and gave it up. They dug a tunnel 500 feet long and came up in the First National Bank. None of them had an account there, so they had to go back.
That's too bad. 200 feet south, and they'd have come up in the laundry and made a clean getaway. I understand they're pretty tough characters, eh, Maury?
Well, I guess so. At least they didn't post no cops in the woods in case they're stopping to pick wildflowers.
Speaking of wildflowers, I hope these cigars are as strong as my last ones. You got them ready for me, Maury?
Sure. Will you take them with you, or shall I give them the address and let them walk over?
That's okay. Let them walk over. But you better wait till dark. All they got on is their wrappers.
Oi!
Home and keep an eye on things. I guess I better get...
Oh, how do you do, Mr. McGee?
Oh, hi, Uppy. Hey, what you doing in front of a cigar store? This ain't one of your hangouts, is it, Uppy?
Mr. McGee, please, what a horrid insinuation. I was merely walking past on my way to the ladies' club. We're rehearsing for our annual play, and I am playing the title role.
Oh, is that so?
Yes.
Well, what is it this year, Uppy? Dead end? No, that's... I know. I'll bet you do the washcloth bit and angels with dirty faces.
Oh, not at all, Mr. McGee. No, no, no. We're presenting Snow White and the Six Dwarfs.
Seven Dwarfs, wasn't it, Uppy?
Yes, yes. But when Mrs. Bingham Boynton simply refused to play the part of Betty, we can't understand it. Gladys has always been so willing before.
Well, maybe she didn't think the part was fat enough for her. So you're going to be Snow White, are you, Uppy? What are you going to do for a glass coffin?
Oh, that's very simple, really, Mr. McGee. Mr. Smith in the delicatessen is loaning us a glass showcase. Oh, oh, do I? I do hope I shall be able to go through with it until the prince rescues me. It simply reeks of ham, you know.
Who, the prince?
Oh, no, 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 Mr. McGee. You know, the showcase.
Oh,
yes. Well, I must be getting on now. Oh, quite warm, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll say it is, Uppy. Hotter than a $2 pistol. I kind of worked up a sweat myself.
Please, Mr. McGee, a gentleman never, horses sweat. Men perspire, and women glow. And I simply must be glowing. I mean, glowing.
Good old Uppy. Some of them club women remind me of a dollar alarm clock. Full of good work, sound awful busy, and never quite on time. Now, see, what was I going to do here?
Well, for scream's sake, Fizzer, what are you doing standing around on the street like a fragrant without any home?
Just come downtown to get some cigars, Nick, but I got to go right back home.
Say, I'm just meeting Mr. Wilscotch down the street.
Oh, you did, eh?
Sure, and he's having a big bag full of firecrackles, torpedoes, pinwhistles, sky rackets, and Roman candlesticks. He's going to celebrate in the Declaration of Independence post a little prematurely, isn't he?
Oh, he's giving them away for premiums. You going away for the 4th, Nick?
No, Fizzer, I think I'm staying here because my little boy, Demetrios, is being personally selected to make a recitation of a patriotic poetry.
Oh. What's he going to recite, Nick?
The recitation he's going to give is a very famous poetry, which the name of it is being The Middle of the Night Ride of Paul Revolver. It is going something like this. Listen, my squeegees, and get a load of a man who is galloping down the road.
Never mind, Nick. I'm familiar with that poem, and I got to get home. Molly's worried about them escaped convicts.
Oh, but Fizzer, every good United States of America citizen should have some refreshments for his memory of this great poetry.
Oh.
One if by land, and two if by sea, and three if by railroad. It's okay with me. Hardly a man is now alive, and if he is, he's more than 75, who remembers it? That famous day and year. Say, Fizzer, would you like a glass of beer?
No, thanks, Nick. I told you I had to hurry home because...
One for the money and two for the show. And Paul Revolver was ready to go when he hung up a signal in a steeple and Paul was watching. He was pretty smart people.
please, Nick, I can't.
To every middle-sized village and farm, the Redskins are coming. He gave the alarm. It's a good thing he did, too, or it would be just too bad. And George Washington is the first president we ever had. Oh, that is a wonderful poetry, Fisher. And it is teaching us a big lesson, too. That horseback ride is just going to show that there has been more than one patriotic canter in our history. Well, so long, Fisher. See you later.
More than one patriotic canter. Take it, Billy.
Telephone, they'd give me a nickel and one price tall is the way I do business.
Okay, okay, I'll give you a nickel. I'll give you a dime. I'll give you a quarter. Here, give me that phone. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Oh, quiet, sis, I'm telephoning. Hello, operator. This is an emergency. Give me the police. Hello, police station. This is Fibber McGee, 79 Wistful Vista.
See.
You know them convicts that escaped? Well, they're in my house at 79 Wistful Vista, see?
See.
Listen, officer, get the squad cars out right away and tell them to take it easy because they got my wife in there with them. I'd have busted in there myself, but there was no use throwing my own life away.
You can have it for a penny.
Okay, officer, thanks, and tell them to hurry. I heard them through the door, and they're pretty desperate. Okay, officer. Oh.
Where's my quarter, mister?
Oh, I ain't got time now, sis. I'll see you later.
Hmm?
I said, don't bother me now. I got to get home.
Okay, mister. But it seems to me that it takes a pretty despicable character to default on a business arrangement with a lady, particularly when she has afforded him every facility to restore his loved ones to the great American ideal of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Back in just a moment. And now, your attention, please.